Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It started out as something quite simple, but it turned into something very stubborn. No, I'm not talking about the Republican health bill this last week. I'm referring to the Gospel, chapter 9 of John, the whole Gospel, the whole chapter that we just read, the healing of a man born blind. You might have noted that there were one simple paragraph about the healing, but there were five paragraphs about the discussion that came after it. But it all started with a simple question. Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Inquiring minds wanted to know, who done it? Jesus replied it was not that this man was sinned or his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be glorified in him. In other words, when people are broken under the burden of the law and of sin and its consequences, that's not the time to ask who done it, or who sinned, like whether it's blindness from birth or cancer at the end of life. It's the time to ask a different question. Don't ask, what in the world did he do to deserve this? Or his progenitors? Rather, ask this question. What has God done? What has God worked to defeat the problem of sin? To destroy death and the problem of sin that leads to death? For with each and every person, it's not an if they ever sinned. It's a when. And a where is the solution to the problem. And we know that the when goes all the way back to the garden. That's when we first sinned, our progenitors, Adam and Eve, in the garden. And it was there also that God gave a promise to the problem of sin right away. He will crush your head. You will bruise his heel. Sin entered the world, and it's been here ever since, and all suffer from it, whether a tiny baby, a congenital disease, or an older person, anything in between. We all suffer the effects of sin. The whole creation is cursed. But special cases of sin, special cases of suffering due to sin, like this one, the man born blind, cause us to stop and ponder sometimes. But in the end, all we can say is, sin happens. Sin happens. It does. Sometimes it's cause and effect, something we do, and bam. Other times it's just seemingly random. The whole creation is cursed. There's original sin. It's part of the creation. But when Jesus is in the room, it's no time to ask the question, who done it? Who's to blame? Now it's time to ask the question, what can be done about this, Jesus? Who is greater at victory, sin or the Savior? Sickness or salvation from God through Jesus' blood and merit? Blindness or the gift of God's healing so that people who are blind can see? And to demonstrate his power, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. He who created man from the dust, remember that, uses soil and saliva, earth and H2O, to recreate the sense of sight in a man born blind. In the words of that man born blind who now received his sight, never in the world since it began has anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. He may have been born blind, but he wasn't born yesterday. He knew who healed him. It was Jesus, the one who opens the eyes of the blind, just as Old Testament prophecy foretold. But the rest of the story is whether mankind believes in this miracle worker and his power or not. And so we had five paragraphs of discussion about it afterwards, didn't we? But it all can be summarized up with one simple word. Stubborn. The proof was everywhere, evident. But the Pharisees stubbornly refused to believe it. They talked to the neighbors. They went and talked to the man. They thought maybe this is a case of mistaken identity. They went to the parents and said, "Is this your son?" "Oh yeah, that's our son, all right." "Well, how did he know?" "Oh, we don't know. Go ask him. He's old enough." They went back to the man a second time. Asked him, "How is it that your eyes were opened again?" He's like, "Hey, I told you and you didn't believe. Do you want to become his disciple?" Which made them balk and revile at the man. "We are Moses' disciple." And that's really the heart of the problem if you heard the text. Because Jesus did this healing when? On the Sabbath day. And Moses said, third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, a day of rest. Don't do any work on the Sabbath. Apparently that meant that no man can do anything and no God should show mercy on the Sabbath. That's the Lord's day. But God is merciful. And God is the God of Moses who gave the law. God is not bound to the letter of the law, but of the Spirit of truth and grace. And the Spirit of truth teaches that Jesus is greater than God's servant Moses. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It is fitting for God to do his work of showing mercy, his display of healing, showing mercy for sinners on the Sabbath day. The day when we rest from our labors, but it's a beautiful time for God to come and do his work, his great work of showing mercy, to reveal himself in the flesh for us on earth with healing for those who repent and believe. To show it's not your labors that will bring you into the new week or the new day, the new life, but mine, says the Lord. God's work of healing brings you into the new day, the new week, the new life, where you'll have your Moses and your Jesus. One as a witness to God's law, what he demands, and one as a witness of the gospel, the good news of God's mercy for sinners, his grace that covers all of our sins, frees us to be his servants, his people, his loved ones whom he created and restores to full health and sight, always having God's forgiveness as a constant gift to drive us and keep us in the faith all our life. But the stubborn are stubborn. And refusing to believe keeps them under judgment. Judgment under the law that they worship. And so it is that those who are blind, through God's word and work, see. Those who see without God's Spirit, working faith in Christ, remain blind. If you've been baptized, and God has poured out his Spirit on you, a Spirit that works faith, and faith sees, you've been given the gift of sight by Jesus. Only those who disbelieve and stubbornly refuse, fall under the judgment and remain in guilt, and thus are blind. Earlier I said, when we see someone suffering from a congenital condition or broken under the law, ask not, what did he do to deserve this? Or what did his parents do? But ask, what has God done about the problem of sin? And then remember the cross and the open tomb. The two most marvelous events in all of history where God completely destroys the power of sin and offers healing to all, justification for our sins, and eternal life and healing, sight in the afterlife. But there's one other question you should probably ask. What can I do to help this person who's suffering? What can I do to help carry the burden in some way? Can I offer myself, my time, prayer. And don't forget God's message. Jesus has come. He conquered sin. He opened the blind man's eyes so he could see. And he will do it again for all of us in the resurrection. Share that gift. Bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. In God's peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.